In Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 13, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's that time of the service where we are to worship God. We're to lift him up. We're going to sing songs, and we're going to go through a list. But make sure that your heart is offering a sacrifice of praise. Don't just let it be, rote, because it's so easy to come to church, especially if you've been going to church for years and just go through the motions. Let your whole being sacrifice to the Lord as you sing. Don't just sing the words, but let the words speak to your heart and then offer them back up to God. We are worshipers. That's one of the things God created us to be, is a worshiper. So Lord, we do. We worship you this morning. Lord, we offer you the sacrifice of praise, Lord. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name of the Father, the Holy Father. We praise the name of the Son of God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you have done for us, how you have redeemed us, Lord, how you have saved us, Lord, how you have bought us back, Lord. Lord, how you have given us, Lord, new lives, Lord, lives that we can live in abundance, Lord, lives that we can have an overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that's resident inside of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving and touching every heart right now. We praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together, church.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heavens above. And I have found more beautiful, you are my treasure, my great reward. And I just wanna move your heart.
Into
wife was little, she tells me this story about how she, when she was younger, she had an aunt that would tell her that if she didn't feel peace, just to write the name of Jesus on a piece of paper over and over and over and over. And that story has always stuck with me because my wife was communicating that as a little girl, there'd be moments where she just was unsure. And for her to tap into the power of Jesus. And I just don't want us to pass up this moment, because I feel like that if we just step in a little bit longer, stay a little bit longer, sing the name of Jesus, that something different might happen in your heart. The thing, the breakthrough you're going after, maybe it's your marriage that you're contending for. Maybe it's your children you're contending for. Maybe it's your finances, your health. There's only one name that can take care of all this, these things. It's Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus. Fresh today, Lord. We receive your love fresh today, Lord. We receive, Lord, your presence fresh today. Thank you, Lord, for this new day you've given us, Lord. This new day you've given us, God. Take just a couple of minutes, greet each other, get some coffee, and we'll be right back.
All right, good morning. If you guys would stand with me, we are going to do our declarations over the city. We continue to speak this as a house here at One Life Family Worship because we believe that God is believes in Yakima, in the Yakima Valley, and that he is doing mighty things in our city. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so say this with me on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. And I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for our valley. We thank you, Jesus, that you are ultimately the one in charge, God. And regardless of what statistics say or regardless of what laws are passed or not passed, God, that you are the one that orchestrates it all. And so we, Lord, put our valley into your hands. We continue believing, God, that you are saving the Yakima Valley, God, that you are bringing your kingdom to this place, God, not just over every church, God, yes, but over every city block, God, with every house, God, every business, Lord, that your presence, Lord, can and will dwell in those places. And we just thank you, Jesus, for your continual blessing over this place, for this place we call home. And we thank you, God, that you're in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. We just have the one announcement. Just wanted to say thank you, everybody who continues to give to our church home here. You can give at onelifefamilyworship.com if you'd like to do that, as well as we have our chest box up here and a box in the back that you can give. And just thank you again for continuing to sow into what God's doing in our house. So, Pastor.
All right. Noah and Katie, would you guys come up, please? Last week, Katie pulled me aside, Pastor, can I talk to you? And she said that they love me and love Gay. They always tell us that. And that's what I'm saying. And but that they really feel that the Lord's calling them out. And so I told them last week, I want them to come back, and we want to pray for them, bless them, because this is their home. How old were you when you first started coming? Was it 3 or 4? Yeah, about 4 years old. That's crazy. Was it 4 years old? Do you remember? It was 4 years old. Huh?
I have a picture of her with
toddlers?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're how old now?
26.
26. Oh, wow. Does that make others feel old here? Yeah. But this is a couple that's had a ministry on their heart. They've assisted with the youth and helped Eric and Nancy. And I know that God's got a mission for you. You know, speaking of missions, you've gone on mission trips. So we're excited to see what God's going to do in your life. And just believe that as we send you out, that you're going to be a seed planted in the city or wherever you end up going. And that you're going to produce fruit and fruit that remains. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. We love you guys. Anyone who wants to extend their hand and pray for them, okay, come on up. Eric, isn't Nancy okay? I don't see Nancy. She's sick. Bless her heart. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this couple. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are working in them, Lord. Lord, you've been working, Lord, even when they don't see you working, even when they don't sense that you're working, Lord, you're working in their lives, Lord. And we know that, Lord, this move, God, and this sending, Lord, we're just believing, God, for fruit to come, Lord. We're believing, Lord, for ministries, Lord, to open up for them, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just allow them, Lord, to listen and hear the Holy Spirit, that they would be able to be directed, that their feet would be ordered, as you say they will be by the Lord, and that they will know exactly where to go and what to do. And Lord, we pray, God, for the giftings of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be evident and working in them, Lord, in a supernatural and powerful way, Lord. Lord, we pray that they would be used, Lord, to extend your kingdom, Lord, that they would be able to love others, Lord, well, that they would be able to speak truth, Lord, with love, and Lord, that they would be, God, they would be, Lord, as we prayed earlier, just like you, Jesus. That they would be more like you, Jesus. Lord, that they would reflect, Lord, and that they would show the character and nature of Christ in everything they do. We bless them now. We send them, Lord, and we let them go into your greatness in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's sad, but it's exciting to see what God will do. Amen? Amen. Oops, sorry. I've got a new microphone, and it sits a little different on my face. So I have to get used to that. But it doesn't feed back, praise God. Anybody been here when it starts to feed back? It's no fun, so especially for poor Jesse back there. So as I said a couple weeks ago, I've really had it on my heart to do and share the parables of Jesus. Never done it. And so last week was the week before was the power of forgiveness. If you're interested in listening to that, it's on YouTube and it's also online on onelifefamilyworship.com. And it's a lot of times we just think that forgiveness is, you know, just something that we do, but we discovered and learned that there's a power behind forgiveness and that it accomplishes things. Well, today I want to talk about the power of persistent prayer. The power of persistent prayer. I was going to call this the power of persistence, but both scriptures that I use for it are about prayer. And so how many know that persistence in prayer is difficult for whatever reason? I've struggled with it at times, you know, and you know, I'm a pastor, but it's because we are fighting a spiritual battle, and that we don't war against flesh and blood, and that the enemy does not want us to pray. I believe that prayer is probably one of the most powerful things that we can do as Christians. Yes, I mean, we can share the love of God with others, but normally it takes the power of prayer in our lives to have the ability to share the love of God with others. And so I'm going to go ahead and change how I was going to run the message here. So I got to go and start at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to go through verses 1 through 13. And we're going to kind of take them in different chunks. So New Living Translation says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and give us each day the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." I have that memorized in the King James and New King James versions, the way that most people have it. And this is the disciples seeing Jesus praying, and they're seeing something modeled to them. They're seeing a lifestyle, and they're saying, "Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples." And I don't know if John taught his disciples this exact prayer, but this is not the way that you're to sit down and pray every single time. You know, "Our Father and art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's basically an outline for prayer. It's acknowledging that God is holy, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords over your life. And then you ask him to, you know, help his kingdom come. And I don't believe it's just so that his kingdom comes on earth. It's that his kingdom comes in your life. You know, it's one thing for his kingdom to come to your neighbors and your friends. But if it's not coming, I'm truly of the opinion, if it's not in your life, it can't be in your neighbors and your friends. You can't truly give it. You can't give what you don't have. So you need his kingdom to come alive in you. And, you know, as we sang earlier, the Holy Spirit's in us. And the Holy Spirit's helping us to become more like Jesus. And we're more like Jesus, we expand God's kingdom. So may your kingdom come soon. Give us this day, we always just say, our daily bread. Give us the food we need. Give us what we need for today. You know, a lot of us get these goals and these plans, and we want things. We desire stuff in our lives. You know, we're a material world, and we can be material people. But God really just needs us to be satisfied with what we get today. No, it's no problem having a vision and maybe a dream for something, but don't let it captivate you in such a way that there's like disappointment in your heart that you don't have it right now. You know, let your life be content with what you have. Let your life be full with what you have. Whether it's just the health you have today. Gay's been fighting something for like a week and a half now. Is it a week and a half? Huh? More. So keep her in your prayers. She's getting better. She's here, and I believe she came because Katie and Noah were getting prayed for mostly, but because she loves them. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're receiving what we need from the Lord today. And sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's wisdom of what to do during the day. Then forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's about forgiveness. And don't let us yield to temptation. Keep us from the evil one. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he wants to teach them more about prayer. He uses a story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." So this is a guy who's a neighbor with someone, and he's got a friend that's come, and his friend's hungry, but he's got nothing in his cupboards. So this friend I hope his neighbor was a friend. After this, he may have not been a friend. And so he supposes that he calls out. So a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence." Shameless persistence. So this is a friend or a neighbor, and he's going to someone's house at night. I don't know if you've ever had anyone come and knock on your door, you know, in the middle of the night. I have before, you know, being a pastor, sometimes there's needs that come up and you get up and you go and you help with it. But usually not to just give somebody food at midnight. That would seem like a little maybe being put out, would you guys think? But this friend or this neighbor who had this friend said, "No, I'm going to get food for my friend." And I don't care if it wakes up your whole house. I'm going to keep knocking. I don't know, but that just, that in some ways, I just like settles wrong with me. But that's the kind of prayerful persistence we're to have. That's why Jesus is telling this story, not just to out this guy who had shameless persistence. So let's look at this word real quick. Shameless persistence. Some of the translation could be recklessness. That person is reckless. They're going out at midnight. They're bothered for food. Why don't they go to a 7-Eleven? Right? It's closed already, evidently. The audacity of that person. You guys use that term before? The audacity. We use it a lot of times when people say certain things. The audacity of them. I can't believe they said that. And then shamelessness. In other words, this neighbor was shameless in this. He wasn't embarrassed that he was knocking on that person's door at midnight. He was being persistent because his friend was hungry. And we don't know the full backstory. We don't know if his friend was so hungry he hadn't eaten in weeks. We don't know that. But we know whatever it was, this person was determined to get food from his neighbor. Insolence. Disregard of consideration by the one making the request. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I stay away from people like this. People that are shameless, have insolence, that are reckless, that don't even have the audacity to do something. But this is our description for prayer. The King James, I think, uses the word importunity. And it literally means that you will not take no for an answer. It does not matter what someone's telling you. You won't take no for an answer. Kids, little kids, know this. They have recklessness in asking their parents. You know, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? No, no, no. And then you turn, and then next thing you know at the store, Dad, same thing. Can I have this? Can I have this? They're, no. And after a while, is there something else? That's too expensive. Grab something. They're going to get something. Because you're like, you're driving me nuts. They're shameless. This is describing the way we should be in prayer. So it really is telling me we need to be like little children. Father, Father, Father. Please, will you do this for me? Then going on, he's finishing his communication. He's still talking to his disciples about prayer. And he says, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Keep on knocking. What do you want? I need some food for my friend. Oh, go away. It's midnight. My family's asleep. You're bugging me. I need some food for my friend. Get out of here. I'm not you're pestering me. You're going to wake up my kids. I don't care. I want food for my friend. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I love that. We were just singing about the Holy Spirit making us more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. We're petitioning God. We're asking the Lord to do more in our lives, to make us more like Jesus, so that we're not just our own stubborn, obnoxious selves, as I was in my past. we're more like Jesus. Because we've been asking, we've been petitioning. The Father wants to give it. The Father has a desire for us to be totally like Jesus. But maybe we need to ask more. Maybe we need to knock more. Maybe we need to seek more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to another story. Very similar. This is Luke 18. This is seven chapters down the way. And one day, Jesus told his disciple a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Sounds similar, doesn't it? They're to always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, who neither feared God nor cared about people. Now, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people. But the woman is driving me crazy." She was knocking. Every day, the judge held court, and every day, this woman sat at the very front. And he would say, no, you're not going to get that. Go away, and she'd go away. The next day, he'd hold court, and she'd be sitting there again, and she'd present her case. No, you're not going to get that. Why do you keep coming back? You're irritating me. Go. Beta, take her out. Took her out. Next day, court starts. There she is again. I don't know how many times she had to come, but we know at some point, he said, "This woman is driving me crazy because she won't stop. She won't quit. I'm going to see that she gets justice, but she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, now get this, the Lord doesn't make a point about the woman. At this point, he's making a point about the judge. Learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So he's saying, do you see this judge? This judge doesn't fear man or fear God. Yet because of this woman's request and constant pestering of him, constant knocking, he finally gave her what he wanted, what she wanted. And she got justice when he didn't want to give it. Now Jesus says, your heavenly Father wants to give you justice. But are you going to continue to have faith that he wants to do good things for you? Are you going to continue to have faith that he wants to see his will done in your life and your life in his plan? Are you believing that? When I come back, was that the kind of earth that I will find of my people? Will there be faith on the earth? That's a tough question. In Luke 18:1, here's a few different verses. New King James says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Not lose heart. That's tough. I can kind of get along with the always praying, but if you lose heart, you're kind of just going through the motions. You're throwing up popcorn prayers. You're throwing up quickies. You're thanking him at the dinner table, you know, as you bless the food. The Bible in Basic English says it this way, "And he made a story for them, the point of which was that men were to go on making prayer and not get tired." Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get worn out. And then the Aramaic said it this way. He told them, translated into English, of course, he told them always also a parable that they should pray at all times and they should not grow weary. Grow weary. That reminds me of this verse, Galatians 6, 8 through 9. "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And then verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Well, today's January 19th. And I called Gate early this morning and I said, so are you going to be able to make it to church? Because you know you know what today is. And she goes, yeah, I know what today is. And I said, well, yeah, it's the day that we're going to pray for Noah and Katie and send them out. She goes, oh, that's not why I know what today is. And then it hit me. January 19th. That's when Aaron went to be with the Lord at 14 years old. And it's interesting because I told her, oh, I was thinking about Aaron all morning because when I was putting this message together, I kept remembering a Mike Lindell in his early days and who had a son born with cerebral palsy and quite difficult cerebral palsy, where he literally was a paraplegic. And what ended up happening is we fed him, we changed him, and it was a lot of work. But in the early days, I was full of faith and believing, God, you're going to heal him. Looking at all the scriptures, been miraculously healed myself. So, just believing that God's going to do this. And so we started having a Monday night prayer meeting in our home. And we had individuals come, whoever wanted to come. And we prayed for sometimes up to 2 hours. And we were praying for Aaron. And he would, he would get excited when we were praying, and kick his feet and everything. And sometimes, you could see him like settling in as the Holy Spirit came upon him. We think this is the moment he's going to get healed. And so that went on for about a year. Then we ended up going to another individual's house. And this lady had MS, and she was believing for a miracle. So we would get Aaron, get him in the car on Monday nights and go over there, and we prayed and we continued to believe and continued to have faith, continued to do good. And we ended up after a while starting, missing Monday nights. I mean, some Mondays we would do it, but it started becoming like, it's like if we make it, we don't make it. But because up to this point, we never missed a Monday. And this was years because we were believing for Aaron's miracle. And so what ended up happening, space got further and further and further apart. And after a while, we just weren't praying on Monday nights. But it wasn't just that we were just praying on Monday nights. It's almost like we became weary and well-doing. And we kind of just settled for Aaron's condition. Now, I, myself, had in my heart that God is a good God. He's a healer. All of those things. But it's like I settled in my heart that Aaron's going to stay this way. And I mean, we took him to, Benny Hinn things after that and stuff, but I just never had that fervency, that fire, that I said, I'm not going to stop knocking. I stopped knocking. Now, is he with Jesus and is he healed and whole? Yes, he is. But I grew weary in well-doing. And does it mean that miracles, didn't happen? No, God did supernatural works. He still works in our lives. But I quit knocking. I grew weary. And to this day, I can struggle in my faith because I grew weary. And I think all of us can relate in some ways. We've seen, we've hoped for things. We've hope deferred, what? Makes the heart sick. And your heart gets sick, you can grow weary. But guys, that's not who we're supposed to be. We have to believe that it's not about how we feel, that keeps us moving forward. That's like, it's not how we feel on Sunday if we praise him or not. It's about what he's done for us, who he is, and what he's accomplished already. And so we believe in the power, the resurrection power, that raised Christ from the dead. And we continue to say, if I don't see it today, I'm going to believe for tomorrow. Now, Aaron is now with Jesus, so I don't have to do that. But there's other things that I've been contending for. And even though I don't see the results, I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. Because your word says, in due season, I shall reap if I don't lose heart. If I keep knocking, if I keep asking, if I keep seeking. He's promised us that. And so my word to you today is this, as Paul told the Thessalonians, never stop praying. Don't stop. I mean, if I could have spoke to Mike Lindell, you know, how many years ago that is now, 20-something years, if I could have spoke to him and said, don't stop praying, Mike. I don't, you know, if someone would have really came and said, you know, that I respected and spoke to me and said, keep going. It's not up to you. And I learned that later on. Pray without ceasing. Same word, but a different phrase. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. The Amplified. I wish I had the testimony of, you know, Aaron standing here whole and healed, and you know, we rejoice and glory in that. Gay has that testimony for Stephen. And, you know, I know that God did great things in my life, even through the struggle. That what the enemy meant as evil in my life, God turned to good. But I'm still saying, I wish I would have not ceased. I wish I wouldn't have grown weary. I wish I wouldn't have lost heart. Because who knows what we might have seen. And so I'm encouraging you, if there's things in your life that you're trying to press through, that you're fighting, that you're believing that God's going to do something that's above and beyond all you could ask or think, don't stop. Don't let circumstances, don't let lies, don't let the bad reports, I don't care what it is, continue to believe. Just as David did for his son, who was already declared by a prophet that he was going to die. David fell on his face and sounds like for weeks was on his face crying out to God. They tried to give him food. I don't want food. Go take a shower. I'm not taking a shower. He did not leave the place he was at. He was seeking God for him to change his mind. He was knocking. And then the boy dies. And David hears them talking over, and they said, well, we can't tell the king. I mean, look what he's been like with the child sick. Now the child's dead. If we tell him, he's going to probably, you know, have a heart attack and die. We can't. And he knew, oh, the child's dead, isn't he? Yes, but we didn't want to tell you. So he got up, took a shower, shaved, cleaned himself up. And they said, what are you doing, king? When he was sick, you were like, you were so distraught, you wouldn't move from where you were at. And he says, well, when the child was alive, possibly God would change his mind. He had persistent prayer. He was unceasing. But he said this, but now the child's gone, I will someday go to be with him. David had eternal perspective. So when that verse came to my heart, it really changed and healed a little bit. Still needing healing. You know, I can tell that it's just not quite the same, but I say, Lord, come on, you can finish this work that you started in me. You know, heal me so that I'm an on fire, persistent prayer person. Just being honest. But I've come a long way because of that testimony of David and what he showed as perseverance when it wasn't up to him. It was up to God, but he was going to continue to knock. So never stop praying. Pray without ceasing and be unceasing and persistent in your prayers. Amen? Amen. The power of persistent prayer, I believe, is transformative. I believe it can change circumstances. I believe it can transform our city. Some of you say, boy, we've been doing this declaration a long time. I mean, I've got it memorized until you changed a couple of words, but I've got it memorized. I mean, do you think we can go on to something else? Well, we can go on to something else. But do we believe that when we are crying out, when we're declaring, when we're saying, God, you're going to move in the Yakima Valley, that things are happening? This tells us it is. Let's not lose heart. Let's continue to say, God, you gave us this declaration, and we believe right now we're to call this out and believe that our city is going to be changed, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, and that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. And I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven and that you would use me. See, that's the key right there. You would use me. It's real easy to ask for all this, but you would use me in doing all these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.
I just wanna move your heart. So fragrance, is it a fragrance?
it a fragrance one more time?
Is it a fragrance? And I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? And here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? And here's every melody.
Fragrance, and it's not oil. You know what it is? It's you, just you. And it's not you because you've done something grand or you've done something amazing or that you've lived a perfect life or you've lived a bad life. It's you because He loves you. He loves you. And because He loves you, you can love Him back. And one of the ways that you show love is talking to Him. So we really could say, don't stop talking to God. Because prayer sometimes has this grandiose thing, but it's really talking. Don't stop talking to Him. Don't cease talking to Him. Don't get tired of talking to Him. And He never gets tired of you. Amen. All right. God bless you. You have a great day. Love y'all.